Here's another decision. When I see someone riding a motorcycle without a helmet, I'm thinking, is that foolish? I mean, how do you make a decision like that? We were in California last week, driving up I-5, bumper to bumper, 4, 5, 6 lanes wide. And in California, I guess you can ride your motorcycle in between the cars, you know? And so I'm driving along, I said, zoom, you know, zoom, and the next guy comes by, I'm thinking, you talk about a decision. All somebody had to do was just swerve a little bit or change a lane and be all over. I mean, it doesn't seem logical, but people do it.
Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, the founder and president of the Intentional Living Center and your advocate for the family. Today, Dr. Randy is continuing his series, Making Better Decisions. Now from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
He is here, in fact. Thank you, Kurt, and welcome as we wrap up this week. But we still have 2 more days next week on this series as we continue making better decisions. And I'm thinking about decision making. When you make decisions in your life and how they alter the course of your life, it's a really big deal. And I say that intentional living is really about helping you connect the life that God has given you, the days that you're on this planet, consuming things, eating things, walking around, breathing, working, whatever, you know, whatever it is that you're doing, with how you actually live your life. That's the part we're really concerned about. God's given you the gift of life. It may be for a few years, it may be for, you know, 100 years. But for whatever time it is, it's short in time in terms of eternity, that you would live it intentionally. And how you live today matters, and the decisions that you make matter. And I'm going to start today as we go over to the Teaching Center here in a moment and continue to share this teaching that I recorded a while ago with my staff and visitors by talking about how one decision can change your life and how making a better decision, better decisions, can alter the course of your life in a healthy way. And a little bit later in the program, we have something very special to offer to make available to you to help you on this journey. So we'll get there a little bit later. Right now, let's go over to the teaching studio as we continue the series today. Number 3, one decision can change the course of your life. And I did this lesson this week because Don and I were talking about that. We walk every day and we were talking about decisions and, you know, how you get where you are in life and other people's decisions, you know, those kinds of things. And Donna made the comment. She said, I'm not sure people really stop. We stop and think about how one decision can change the course of your life. We've all seen people who do stupid things, haven't you? I wrote down some stupid decision. These are the way I look at it. Someone who chooses to tailgate at 60 miles an hour on the highway. I don't know if that bugs you as much as it does me, but I'm driving down the highway, and there's somebody ahead of me or behind me, and they're 2 foot, and they're going 60 miles an hour. I'm thinking they're putting their life on the line, my life on the line, everybody on the road. That is an illogical decision. I mean, if you were thinking clearly, you'd say, hey, I'll leave the space so I have room to maneuver. I mean, maybe that's just me. Here's another decision. When I see someone riding a motorcycle without a helmet, I'm thinking, is that foolish? I mean, how do you make a decision like that? We were in California last week, driving up I-5, bumper to bumper, 4, 5, 6 lanes wide. And in California, I guess you can ride your motorcycle in between the cars, you know. And so I'm driving along, I said, zoom, you know, zoom. And the next guy comes by, I'm thinking, you talk about a decision. All somebody had to do was just swerve a little bit or open a door or change a lane and it'd be all over, see. I mean, it doesn't seem logical, but people do it. How about eating too much? There's a decision that I make. It's a foolish decision, isn't it? And really, when you think about it, but we do it. Or spending more than you make and doing it over an extended period of time, putting things on credit. It's a decision that you make that, well, certainly can change the course of your life. Cheating at work, cheating in your marriage. I'm always befuddled by that. Now, I know what happens, and I understand about lust and decisions and sin, and I understand all that. But I think about the consequences of that. Not only in that person's life, but in their spouse's life and in their families.
And I think that's such an illogical decision, or just wasting time. So the decisions that we make can change your life. The career you choose, the marriage, am I going to follow Christ or not? These are decisions that we make that can alter the course of our life. And then just a fourth statement is that there is pitiful little training on how to make better decisions. We just don't talk about this enough. And as I said earlier, we learn by watching others. And I have to tell you, I believe that our churches are failing our young people by not training and not teaching. Pastors, I challenge you to be training, to have messages on making decisions God's way, and how do you make a decision, and how decisions can alter the course of your life. If we could help our young people who are growing up to see that their decisions matter and that they would make better decisions, we're all going to be better off in our families and in our country. Now, let me just share with you what the ideal decision-making model is. If you go to any sort of management page or take a class in decision-making or been to a strategic planning session here in the ministry or anywhere, this is how they tell you how to make decisions. Identify the problem or the opportunity. You know, what is it? Because there's two things. You can either have a problem that you have to fix, or you have an opportunity that you can pursue. Those are basically the two options that present themselves to you. And then you gather the information, you find out, you know, what's the information and the data, and so you have all the information that you need about the decision that you need to make. Then you look at the options, and you write the options down. Then you select the best option from that list, the pros and cons and all of that. Then you decide, this is the choice. You lay out a plan of action, and then you act, right? That's sort of the process. If we did that, we'd probably all be better off in life. But that's not how most of us make decisions.
You've been listening to Dr. Randy's series, Making Better Decisions, and he'll conclude his teaching in just a moment. When you become a new monthly member, we'll send you the Intentional Living New Member Kit, which includes Dr. Randy's books, Starve for Affection and The Power of One Thing, which, by the way, are autographed, the Intentional Living wristband, and his coaching CDs every month. Join today, and thanks. Go to theintentionallife.com or call 1-888-1717 and press option number 4. Dr. Randy will be back in a moment to conclude today's teaching, Making Better Decisions.
What's the key to getting a better body? Getting intentional, of course.
From the Intentional Living Center, this is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's King Hoover, our intentional health coach.
Being intentional is all about making better choices when challenging stresses occur. First, make a list of the habits that you want to break. Then, when the urge occurs, do something completely different. Want some cheesecake? Then go for a walk. Craving chocolate? Well, have some black coffee instead. Trying to skip exercise? Call your workout partner and tell them you're on the way to the gym. If you don't have a workout buddy, call a staff member at the gym and they'll be just as glad to see you coming. So get intentional about your health, and we're happy to take credit for your smaller waist. For Intentional Living, I'm King Hoover.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Now let's get back to Dr. Randy at the Intentional Living Teaching Studio as he continues his teaching, Making Better Decisions.
Let me just share with you what the ideal decision-making model is. If you go to any sort of management page or take a class in decision-making or been to a strategic planning session here in the ministry or anywhere, this is how they tell you how to make decisions. Identify the problem or the opportunity. You know, what is it? Because there's two things. You can either have a problem that you have to fix, or you have an opportunity that you can pursue. Those are basically the two options that present themselves to you. And then you gather the information, you find out, you know, what's the information and the data, and so you have all the information that you need about the decision that you need to make. Then you look at the options and you write the options down. Then you select the best option from that list, the pros and cons and all of that. Then you decide, this is the choice. You lay out a plan of action, and then you act, right? That's sort of the process. If we did that, we'd probably all be better off in life. But that's not how most of us make decisions. Most of us make decisions, we're faced with a problem or an opportunity. We think about what we've done before. We see what somebody else has done. We consider what feels right, and then we do it. That's basically how most of us make decisions in life, right? And I can't tell you in my counseling work, interesting, that the number of people who will come and ask a counselor or a pastor for insight and then not do it is amazing. Here's a person who's standing back, objective, has experience, and saying, hey, here's some options. But we're going to still tend to do what we want to do. We're going to continue to do what we've always done, as they say. And if you continue to do that, that certainly is illogical, and it's not going to get you to where you want to be. Now, this is not just a 21st century problem in decision making. I was looking at some of the biblical characters and some of the decisions that our friends from the Scripture have made. Let's start with Adam and Eve. Okay? They disobeyed God over a piece of fruit. You ever thought about that? I mean, I know there's a lot going on spiritually here and theologically and so on, but basically, they had everything. They wanted this. Jonah. Think about it. I mean, here's the God of the universe saying, I want you to go do this. He thinks he can go run from God. So he made a decision to run from God. David with Bathsheba. You ever shake your head with that one? You know, here's David, has everything. I mean, what did he have? I don't know. He had all these concubines. He had everything, and he wanted Bathsheba. And, of course, we know where that led to all the problems in his family and just devastating problems. Moses striking the rock. There's another decision. I mean, that was a costly one for him, wasn't it? He wasn't going to obey God. He was going to do it his own way. Samson with Delilah. There was a decision. Peter denying Christ 3 times on the night that Christ was betrayed. The rich young ruler in the New Testament that we see the story of, sell all that you have and follow me. Here's what I think about decisions. When we make decisions in life, there's typically a trigger to our decisions. It's like habits. Remember we've taught about habits? How the research shows that our habits tend to be triggered by something, you know, time of day, boredom, whatever, but bad habits tend to have triggers to them, but so are decisions. And I would ask the question, you don't have to answer it, but think about it. What are the triggers to the decisions you make in life? What's the trigger to telling the truth, making that decision? What's the trigger to watching pornography? What's the trigger to making the decision to overeat? What's the trigger to making a decision to marry someone? What's the trigger that sets off the decision to divorce someone? See, all of these decisions have something preceding them that sets them off, that we make the decision. That's why you can have two people at the same corner making two different decisions. Because decisions are very subjective. It's what I choose to do. It's something going on inside of me. And we're going to talk about intention in a moment, because intention is a deeper thing than just decision. Intention is a very, very, the more I study it, intention is a deep, deep spiritual thing in life. So, the question is, what were the triggers? Adam and Eve, what was the trigger? Maybe control, pleasure, disobedience? I don't know, but there was a trigger that set them off. Jonah, you see the trigger. They tell us what it is. He was angry. He didn't want God to do anything for these people. He was just simply ticked off, right? I mean, you read the story of Jonah, he was angry. David and Bathsheba, pure lust. That was the trigger that set off that decision. Moses striking the rock, he was frustrated, right? Samson and Delilah, there was a trigger, a relationship. He wanted to please this woman. You know, he was in this relationship. As a result of that, he made the bad decision. Peter denying Christ 3 times. Fearful. Just plain simple fear. I mean, this is this big, strong Peter. And we always, you know, we joke about, and here's this little servant girl, and that he denies Christ, but there was this fear that he had in his life. The rich young ruler, security and wealth. And I think when we make decisions in life, there's always some sort of a trigger that we have to understand that triggers the decisions we're making.
Wow, we're going to pick up there next time and continue. Hey, listen, if you're a member of the Intentional Living Center, this is on its way, or maybe you've already received it, but if not, it's coming. Making Better Decisions, the teaching this month to all members. It goes on CD. This is our way of saying thank you all for your support. And if you're not a member, listen, we want to give you a real incentive to join today in this 2017 for your life, that you would begin a journey for your life, to connect your life with how you actually live every day. And we've got this kit that we're going to send with something included, special and extra right now. It's My Plan for Hope, a 2017 weekly planner that our staff created. And in it, it has teaching on goal setting, gives you sample goals in the five essential areas of life, a place to list your goals and priorities for each month and track them. It's a very practical, hands-on. And I'll tell you, guys, this would be great for your wife. It's designed. I think women are going to love it. And it's our gift to you. And in the box, along with that, as you join as a member, we're sending you two of my best-selling books here from Intentional Living, The Power of One Thing. I wrote a book on how to intentionally change your life by doing the next right one thing. I wear a wristband every day, which, by the way, we're putting one of those in as well, the wristband, The Power of One Thing. Every day it's a reminder to me of, Randy, what's the next right one thing? We have the book that goes along with it and a book for couples called Starve for Affection, Why We Crave It, How to Get It, and Why It's So Important in Marriage, autographed, all of this saying thanks for joining in monthly support. And if you could join us today, we'd appreciate it. Go online. Here's what you do. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or call 888-888-1717 and press number 4. All right, we'll be getting to the mailbag right after we hear from our friend Lori Allen.
This is Lori Allen for Intentional Living. Only a select few of those with special gifts have to face the choice of family or fame. But we all get an important choice to make hundreds of times a day. We get to choose between right and wrong, good and evil. I say get to because one of the great aspects of God is that He didn't make us robots to worship and obey Him. He gave us options so we could learn and so we could rely on His grace. Sometimes our choice is so fleeting we don't even notice it. For example, there's the choice between smiling and engaging with someone who might need encouragement or rushing to the next errand. Often the choice is an opportunity to say no to temptation. And other times it's the chance to set a good example. Sure, we say we'd all make the big right choice to die for Jesus. But are we making the small good choices to live for Him every day? For Intentional Living, I'm Lori Allen.
Hi, my name is Vanessa. I'm calling from Santa Fe, New Mexico, and my husband and I love your radio program, and we also went to the conference in Albuquerque. The one thing intentional that I like to do to honor God with my body, there's many things, because I believe that I'm made up physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional. Of all those things, and I celebrated 22 years of sobriety March 13th, and I am so grateful for that. And when I think about the damage that I have done to my body with drugs and alcohol for 17 years, and now that I have 22 years of sobriety, I'm all about healthy eating, exercise, sweating to detox, stimulating my spiritual by scripture, going to church, and striving to be the best daughter that I can be to my Father God in heaven. And it almost makes me cry because it's so amazing from where I come from and where I am today because of God's grace. And it's only because of Him. So that's more than one thing that I don't want to take up the whole time. I could go on and on and on. So thank you so much. God bless. Have a great day. Bye.
That's great. Hey, listen, when you got a lot to say, it's because you got a lot to say. And God's been good. That's good. Don't ever be ashamed of that, Vanessa. You see, she was very intentional. It wasn't vague. She decided to take better care of her body, better care of her mind, and live in a way that would honor Christ. That's a beautiful thing, making those choices to live sober and making healthy choices. We got a caller from Michigan, from my hometown of Jackson, and she wants to share a faith decision that she made. Take a listen.
Hi, Dr. Carlson. I'm listening to your program on forgiveness, and it's 10:30 here in Jackson, Michigan. And I really would like to share that what I've learned about forgiveness is it's a choice. I probably went through 2 years, the first thing in the morning, choosing to forgive anybody that would hurt me that day. You know, it's like I was proactive in choose forgiveness before an event happened. I have an ex-husband, and I actually feel compassion towards him now, and I have forgiven him. I struggled with whether I needed to go back or not, but I really felt like God gave me a breakthrough recently on forgiveness doesn't always mean reconciliation. And I even went through a period to give everybody time in my life to heal, you know, and there's still individuals that I don't approach because I tried to reconcile and that wasn't received. I really have learned that it really has no bearing on what the other person does. It's strictly on, you know, I know that I stand before God on what my heart is, not what theirs is. And I walked through a deep valley in a dark season because of unforgiveness, but I learned much. I learned much through it, and I'm so thankful and grateful. Be blessed. Bye.
You know, it's a daily decision. Thank you for sharing that. You know, it was really a forgiveness decision that led to a stronger faith and a faith that allows her to forgive. These go hand in hand. As followers of Christ, learning to forgive is a powerful spiritual thing. It's easy to hang on to hatred or dislike or those feelings of revenge that you may have because you've been hurt. And maybe you think that's, you know, it's rightfully the way I can feel. But to forgive is a beautiful thing. Hey, I think, do we have time for one more? I think we have time, Stephen, for one more. Here's Sarah. She's making a choice for purity. Take a listen.
Hello, my name is Sarah. I'm from Phoenix. And right now they're talking about change on the radio. And I'm not married, but I am in a relationship. I've been dating my boyfriend for over a year now. And at the beginning of our relationship, we weren't the most sexually pure. And we haven't actually slept together, but we had been doing other things that, you know, just weren't pleasing to God. And a couple months ago, we both just felt like God was really telling us that this was not something that he wanted us to be doing, and that, you know, just that we would have a happier relationship and ultimately, in the end, hopefully a marriage together if we just left that for the time when God was wanting it to happen.
Good for you. Hey, listen, God is a God of forgiveness. He's a God of reconciliation, restoration. If we confess our sins, the Bible says, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'd take advantage of that one. It's a sign I'd enter that doorway, take advantage of that promise. Hey, listen, I want to say thanks to all of you who are standing in support of the ministry. And in just a moment, share with you something very special. Not only do we have this beginner kit to get you started, a primer on intentional living with two of my books and the wristband, The Power of One Thing, but we got a really neat planner that will help you. We'd love to get it to you hopefully by the end of this month, so by February at least, you can begin this journey of setting up plans and living out your plans for this year. Well, I'll tell you about that coming up here in just a couple minutes. In the meantime, if you'd like to share a story about making better decisions, what God's teaching you about decision-making, call 888-888-1717, press number 2 to go to our comment line, our story line, and tell us about it. Love to hear from you. This is our journey together of living intentionally for Christ.
Hi, yes, I'm calling to let you know how important it is to deliberately make a choice to follow the Lord. My marriage was saved through this, and that for years and years and years, I was begging God to heal my marriage, to restore my love for my husband. Nothing seemed to happen. Then just recently, I started a new hobby that brought me into contact with a man that I actually felt like I fell in love with, and I was severely tempted to have an affair. During this, I had to choose. I had to choose if I was going to follow the inclinations of my flesh or if I was going to choose to follow the Lord. I chose to follow the Lord, even though it broke my heart, quite frankly. It took a long time. I just kept resisting and saying no. And I chose to love my husband, and I have to say, it worked. My marriage is better than it ever has been before. And I just want to thank the Lord, because through this, I believe He did answer my prayers of those many years to heal my marriage. Maybe I had to come to that point where I was tempted to walk away and leave it all behind. Choosing to follow the Lord always works. 'Cause you are faithful.
Every promise you made, living in a broken heart. No, you came to stay, because you are so faithful to me. You love me so
Well, we appreciate you taking time, telling us your story. Tell us what God's doing in your life. You can do that. Connect right here into the Intentional Living Center, the inner sanctum of intentional living. And all of your stories and comments are listened to at 888-888-1717. Press number 2. Some of them end up on the air. We appreciate hearing from you. Just before we wrap this thing up for today, I want to remind you we've got something really cool that we're making available to new members, those of you who are joining in support every month of the ministry. Not only our best-selling books, The Power of One Thing and Star for Affection for Couples, it's a book for marriage and a book for you personally. I autograph both of them, and you'll get this entire series on making better decisions. But we have this brand-new My Plan for Hope 2017 weekly planner. And what I like is we have the five essentials: your family, your faith, your health, finances, and work. And I challenge you to think about one thing that you would commit that month for a 30-day challenge for that month. Could be as simple as saying, you know, for finances, we choose not to use a credit card in the month of March or June or whatever month that may be. And you find that it works and you make it again the next month. Because I know that long-term goals sometimes are hard to keep because they're not broken down into daily and weekly and monthly. So this is our gift to you. It's really neat. It's our way of saying thanks for joining us monthly. Limited supply. When we're out, we're out. And so if you come and join us in monthly support, it's easy to do. Put it on the auto giving program. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. And press number 4. Take you to our staff. Next time, we'll come back next week and continue on this topic of decision making. See you then.